afternoon and welcome to The Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM, the show to encourage, support and help people improve both their working and personal lives through continuous learning. I'm Laura Fitzsimons and I'm a training and presenting coach. The Learning Show is sponsored by Skillworks. Today I'm going to be talking about one of my favourite topics, presentation skills. So I'd like to welcome my guest, Barbara Moynihan of On Your Feet. Barbara, you're very welcome here this afternoon.
Thank you, Laura.
Great, thank you for coming along. Tell me the question I always get asked, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about it because you have a lot more experience in this area than I have. Why do people fear speaking in public?
I think there's a lot of reasons, but I think the biggest reason is that people are probably afraid of making a fool of themselves, you know, in front of a group of people. You know, if you do something wrong in work and you're sitting in your office and it's just you, it's not a big deal. But if you do something wrong and you're standing in front of a group, it's just a nightmare. Yeah. So I think that's probably the main reason. And then there's a few other reasons as well.
Yeah.
I think people often have had bad experiences at school or maybe even in college. And in college, in fairness, they've been asked to maybe stand up and present and they haven't been shown how to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So then it doesn't go great. And then the next time they've got to stand up and maybe it's worse. And then by the time they come to being in a job, they're just totally freaked out about it.
Yeah. And then their self-belief then in that area is like, you can't do it. And they're going to keep reinforcing that by saying, oh, I can't present and build up the nerves.
Yeah.
So what kind of techniques do you use then to try and get people over that fear?
Well, the first thing I do is I say, look, you don't have to be perfect. For example, if you're an accountant, your area of expertise is accounting. So when you stand up to speak, you only need to be able to get your message across. You don't have to be like, you know, somebody who's a professional, motivational speaker, like Steve Jobs or Barack Obama and be that good. People set the bar very high for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, really, they just have to be good enough to get their message across.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they don't need to prepare, but that's as good as they need to be rather than just putting massive pressure to be really, really amazing at presenting.
Yeah. And it's okay to make mistakes. That's what I always say to people. Yeah, you just get on with it.
Yeah. Like it's better to come across as human and make a little error, like trip over your words or stutter or stumble, rather than be really, really slick and have learnt by heart and just not come across and not make a connection.
Yeah.
So I'd be the same. You don't have to be perfect, really.
Yeah. And that helps settle people's nerves.
Yeah, and then start talking to yourself. Just get rid of that. Like you're saying, like the number of people who say, I'm terrible at presenting, I'm off, and they keep going on. You have to say, stop. Just stop saying that to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, change the record. Start saying, I'm doing something about it now and I'm going to be better.
Yeah, empower themselves and present more effectively.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
You work with a lot of senior executives. How do they differ to, say, someone that's not so senior in that whole space of presentation skills?
Not hugely, you know. Again, just to go back to why people fear of it, they're afraid of it. They're afraid of making a fool of themselves. So somebody, for example, who is the CEO in an organisation, they're terrified that they will make a fool of themselves in front of, you know, not just their peers, but people who are actually reporting into them. So they've got very much the same needs, same fears. And even if you are the CEO, there's always kind of somebody who, you know, who intimidates you. Like a lot of people will say to me, I'm fine presenting so long as it's not the senior management team or, you know, or the C-suite. Yeah. So for everybody, there's always somebody who's going to be a challenge to them, whether it's more senior or whether it's actually reporting into you.
And it's funny, what I always say, get people to look at it, even think about it from a perspective, put things into perspective. Like you're saying, CEOs get nervous and they're in front of other people. But yet the people who are sitting in front of them don't actually always see that. I mean, they actually see them, this person's brilliant and they're really, you know, they're effective communicators, they're getting their message across. So it's interesting, sometimes we knock things out of perspective.
Yeah, what we're thinking in our head isn't necessarily what people are actually seeing. And a lot of it is, and I'd always spend a lot of time with people on how they actually stand.
Yeah.
Because how you stand doesn't just affect how people see you. So if you're standing, I often say, like, stand like a CEO. If you're standing in a good posture, not only do you look confident, but there's research to prove that you actually feel more confident. I don't know if you've heard of Amy Cuddy.
I was going to reference her.
Sorry.
That's great. No, yeah. We're definitely on the same wave. I always put her up, Amy Cuddy, only 17.6 minutes long on TED.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And she talks about very much about, you know, how you start working your physiology, your nonverbal communication, your body language, and it just change your whole perspective and your perception of what's going on and how you actually relay yourself. So that's gas.
Yeah, there you go.
You can tell.
Sorry, Steve, you're thunder there.
I know, Tess Gas. It's just funny that we're in the same area, because I always put her up there because I obviously can't play her during the course. She just takes too long.
No,
she's good. I also saw her actually recently. I haven't seen all the clip. Haven't watched all of it. Mm. Maureen Gaffney's How to Be Happy. It's based on her book Flourishing and Positive Psychology. And she was one of the guest speakers, I guess, on that show then as well. She went over to the US to interview her, and she very much talks about that, what she talks about in the TED show, how you can not trick yourself, you're not tricking, but how you can change, you know, your body language being positive, and then that'll make you more positive and get over the nerves. What other challenges do you see people coming up with, I guess, or what they face when they have to present?
I suppose it's just the fear of not connecting with people.
Okay.
You know, so, and actually I had a group recently, and there was one guy who was saying like that people just always look really bored and they're looking away, and what could he do about that? And funny, when he stood up to speak, I could see straight away why people were turning off him.
Well,
his voice was just really dead and monotone.
Yeah.
And he just was looking at the ground. So even if they wanted to listen to him, he was making it difficult.
Very difficult, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of it's just putting a bit of energy into, you know, I always say be yourself, but be, you know, that version of yourself when you're out the weekend and you're with your friends and you're in good form and you're enthusiastic and
passionate.
Yeah.
I always say, I'm looking for some oomph, give me some oomph.
Yeah, exactly. So, so trying to help him how to have just that bit of, as you call it, oomph in how he's delivering things, and also then to help him to look at people. So to look at one person, speak to them for a few seconds before then looking at the next person, rather than looking at the ground or occasionally a darty eye contact with the room in general.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it sounds just only because I train so much of that area. Mm. It was interesting. I was at a presentation or a briefing, that's a couple of weeks ago. And just on paper, this speaker sounded phenomenal. I'm not going to say who it is and what the background, because in case people do know, and I don't want to put that out there on air, but it sounded fantastic. So I'm like, gosh, I'm going to be really looking forward to speaking or hearing him speak.
Yeah.
And he spent the whole time turned around looking back at the screen. And then when he did occasionally turn back towards the audience, he did, as you said. Now, he didn't have a monotone voice. But even from a projection point of view, he lost it. He disengaged. Mm. He cut off his whole body. You know, his any kind of nonverbal communication. He just wasn't communicating with the audience. And then when he turned back out, he sort of sat. His hands in his pockets, and I'm dropping my chin now to demonstrate. Yeah. But his voice dissipated. He didn't make any eye contact, and it was. I'm sure the content. He just tuned out. Absolutely tuned out. Didn't want to hear them when he had to say, because he was just like, oh my God.
I know. And here's the thing. I mean, I always video, and I know you use video
so
as well.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's so easily sorted, because when you play back the video to a person, they go, oh my God, is that actually how I'm coming across? So you give them a few pointers. So it's not rocket science.
Yeah, it's not. And people can, it's important. People can pick up the skills pretty quickly.
Yeah. Sure, even if you see early videos of Steve Jobs, I mean, he was really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad as a presenter.
He?
Yeah.
Because
people often ask another question then, you know, do you not think people are just born good at public speaking? Absolutely. Some are born, it's like singing.
Yeah.
Some are born better than others, but everybody can learn how to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, small changes make big differences.
So he was, I must go and check that out now to see what he was like originally. I just remember him doing that speech to Harvard University in the grad, for the grads. And it was just, of course, the content of what he was saying as well. But you wouldn't have listened to the content if he hadn't, he wasn't engaging the audience.
That's right.
And very effective.
Yeah, talking about using videos, I'll normally on my courses, I virtually always show the first 2 minutes. I know it's 15 minutes long, but just even the first 2 minutes, you see how he creates rapport, how he pauses, how he just smiles, how he's humble, and he sets out what he's going to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, he was great.
I actually heard a great person speak last week. I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce, and I'm the co-chair of the Business Owners Network Group. That sounds all very long, but I love doing that because I just love talking, whether in front of people or whatever.
Yes.
You know me, Barbara.
Yes, I do.
But we had a guest. Now, I wasn't chairing at the day, but we had a guest in, Declan Coyle. Now, he's been mentioned on this programme before when I was working with interviewing Jerry Grain on sports psychology.
Okay.
Declan has written this amazing book called The Green Platform, and again, it's changing your perspective, negative to positive, red platform, negative.
I saw him on the Late Show, I think, actually.
Yeah, I did hear he was on that, but I didn't see him. Now, but to talk about, when you just zoom into what you talked about, humble, he was extraordinarily humble. He was talking about, you know, and very much reflecting back to the audience. And I say there was 60 odd people in the room last Friday morning. And it was very much, does it make sense to you guys? Does it make sense? Like making sure of checking in that the material was relevant. But also it was very much about, you know, you actually have this in you. You can do it. You know, you're and very humble about it. And he says,
so not setting himself above everybody else or anything.
He was very much on the same level, which was lovely. Now, he didn't have a particularly great projection in his voice, but I think that was probably, I'm not saying it was as a technique of his, but because he had a softer kind of voice, you really concentrated. But he had the whole room, but it was the humbleness, the not that I'm so much better than you and I can make you better. It was very much, I'm the same as you, and if I can do, you can do it. Anyone can do it. It's just we apply these different things. It was just lovely. It was lovely. Maybe if you can give me out your contact details, Barbara, before we continue on.
Yeah, so the website is onyourfeet.ie. My Twitter handle actually is @on_your_feet.
Okay, and I'm a follower of yours now. I like reading some of the stuff you put up there then as well.
And vice versa.
Oh, very good. Thanks very much. And I have two Twitter accounts, so it gets really confusing sometimes.
I'm only following you on one then, so I'll have to get the other one off.
I'll have to get you work. I have to get working on that one now. I'll have to get you to follow me. I'm here with Barbara Moynihan on Your Feet. I'll just give out the contact details to the show before we take a song break. The email address is thelearningshow@dublincityfm.ie. Facebook/thelearningshow. And my Twitter handle is @thelearningshow, but it's a capital T, L and S. So we'll take a quick song break now, which I know that Barbara likes. Bruno Mars singing The Way You Are. Welcome back to The Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. That was Bruno Mars singing The Way You Are. I'm here with Barbara Moynihan of On Your Feet. And when we were off air there for a couple of moments, we had a great chat about Barbara getting into business. So, Barbara, what actually made you set up your own business?
Well, I had been working for an international training company called Dale Carnegie Training. And I was training in presentation skills for about 9 years. And then the recession hit. So their business really went quiet. So I decided I'd set up my own. And I spotted a gap in the market. Nobody was coaching people on how to do their 60-second elevator pitch.
Yeah.
So I started off doing half-day videoed workshops on the elevator pitch, always with the view to building a corporate client database on presentation skills. But you know yourself, when you start off day one, if you've got no clients and no traction, nobody wants to know you. So I built up a client database with the 60-second elevator pitch and then started training the presentation skills. And that's now what I'm doing. 90% of my business now is with corporates on the presentation skills. Yeah.
Good. And so what challenges did you face when you set up?
I think like in any business, you've no clients. You've no clients and you can't get clients because you haven't got any clients.
Yeah.
So what I did was, and this worked really well for me and would work well probably for other people who are in the training business or in the business where you're running programs. I ran two programs as pilots. So I got 9 people that I knew and invited them in a half day workshop. They could come in it for free. The payback was that they had to meet me within a week and give me feedback on what they liked and what they didn't like.
Okay, very clever.
So it meant I had good feedback and obviously constructive feedback, but I also had 9 people who'd been on the course who were now testimonials that I could refer to.
Yeah, testimonials. Very clever.
Yeah. And then the second one that I did was I ran it for the New Frontiers attendees. It's an Enterprise Ireland funded program for early stage entrepreneurs. And I ran that as a pilot in the Synergy Centre in Tallaght. And again, I had testimonials, reference points, and actually the Synergy Centre in Tallaght, they still bring me in for a few days a year to work with their clients. So it was a win-win situation.
Yeah, very clever. Yeah. Very clever. Hmm. So what kind of support? I'm always interested in what kind of support did you get along the way, either whether it's financial or whether it's using a mentor, or in the case I've introduced somebody recently, Danica McCobb of Adventure Training Ireland, and he actually had friends physically helping him lift boats, kayaks down to his platoon. That was huge. I know it's support, it's help, but it is support.
Yeah.
What kind of support did you get along the way, or did you get any?
I did. Well, I went on a lot of the Enterprise Board's training programs. Actually, the very first program I did was negotiation skills, because I thought I was given a really good price and then people were trying to negotiate even more. So I did quite a lot of the Enterprise Board's short training programs.
Yeah.
I also got a mentor and it was really, really reasonable. I think it was about 50 or 60 euro. And I tell you, it was the best money I ever spent.
All right.
Because he helped me to put together a business plan and just to focus.
Yeah.
I got the mentor when I was about a year in business, and it really, I felt like I'd been running around like a headless chicken, really, up until that point, you know, busy being busy and getting to business and everything. So he really helped me to focus. So, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Mm. Very good. You recently won an award with Network Dublin, the Self-Employed Business Woman of the Year. Tell me a little bit about that. That's brilliant. Congratulations, first
Thanks
of all.
Thanks, Megan. Thank you.
So tell me about what that was about.
Well, you had to apply for, and I suppose say what you've done since you set up your business and give the reasons why you should win the award. And obviously being part of Network Dublin, you had to talk about in your application form how you had contributed to the network and how the network had helped you. And I mean, one of the things that I said, and I've always said it, that networking would play a huge part in developing the business. For me, especially when I started off, I used to network 3 times a week, every single week.
Wow.
For the first 18 months. Yeah. Now, I don't do it as much now
because
I don't need to be honest with you. But back then, I mean, I was time rich because I had no clients. I had no customers in the very, very beginning.
Yeah.
So just to get my name out there, I went to everything.
And that helped then you?
Definitely.
Putting that whole package together helped you win that award?
Yeah.
Okay, well done. You've got some and great points, and you touched on networking there. So for people, women working in business, what kind of tips would you give them?
Well, I think the first thing is obviously, I suppose it goes without saying, be really good at what you do, but really make yourself different. You know, it's not good enough to say, well, we've better quality or we've better service than anybody else. You have to have real tangible differences about what you do and how you do it. So for myself, for example, one of the things most people will use video coaching with presentation skills with groups. But I actually take people out of the room to look at their video one to one and give them their feedback in private, which is people really, really like that. So just you need to be really, really clear on exactly what makes you different.
That
would be the first thing. Second thing then is to always be upskilling yourself, both on your core skills. So for me, that's presentation skills, but also on your business skills. Because it's very hard to build your business unless you kind of know about social media and marketing. So continue to educate yourself, I suppose, in business and in your own core skills.
Yep, which is important. I actually read an article earlier on today on LinkedIn, and it was probably of training managers. I don't know, in lots of different groups, but some of them catch my eye, some of them don't. Mm. But one of them was very much in that space. People involved in training sometimes put their upskilling aside because they're so focused on, you know, upskilling other people, and it's great imparting. And that's one of the joys I have. I love training. I love helping people along.
Yeah.
But they said a lot of trainers actually push their own upskilling aside. You know,
really?
Which I don't have to say. I have a plan every year.
Yeah.
Every year I do another qualification, and that's very much in the training area. But like you say, it's important not to neglect the business because that you are driving that business. You are the driver.
Well, especially when you're self-employed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely need those things. I mean, I would always, every year in January, I sit down, I set my goals for the year, and I would always plan at least one training course a quarter. And then, like you as well, I'd go to see really good speakers and learn from them.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so other tips then?
Other tips would be to network.
Definitely.
Even now, I'd network maybe on average once a week. Sometimes it could be twice in the 1 week. And when I'm talking about networking, it's not just going to an event and getting the business cards and following up.
Yeah.
It's networking where you're looking to give, you know, constantly looking out for other people, and it just comes back around.
Yeah.
So, for example, I'm on the e-tenders, the government e-tenders mailing list.
Yeah.
If something comes in and it's not for me, I'll always straight away, before I delete,
send
it, think,
it over to somebody else.
Do I know somebody?
Yeah, I do that too.
Do you? You never sent me anything.
No. I haven't seen anything coming up in presentation skills, probably, that's why.
But, and even if you see an article of interest, or just, you know, if you hear of a job going, if I'm in with a client and they're saying, I'm looking for something on, you know, assertiveness skills, that I'd be thinking of you, or, you know, just to always have your eyes and ears out for others, because I'm telling you, the more you give, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I agree, actually.
You know?
Yeah, I do agree.
It really does. Sometimes people, I meet at networking and they just come up to you and they, like, I was at something recently, this girl was giving out, just walking up to groups of people who were chatting and shoving her flyer in. I felt like saying, stop, you're actually turning people.
You're not building relationships.
No,
not
you're
not
actually
doing
turning
that.
People
it's
off
about relationships,
you.
Yeah, very much so.
So that would be one. The next one then would be to look at your costings.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what's going out and try and see if you can get better price for them. I know you were talking about getting, looking around for
professional endowment insurance.
Yeah, and they can vary hugely.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And any €100 that you're not paying out is €100 on your profit line.
Yeah.
And then also as well, particularly when you're in the services industry, to be charging not just for the face-to-face time with clients, but also factoring in the amount of time, and you know, for any course prep. Or even a one-to-one session, the prep you're doing before and the follow-up.
Yep.
So make sure you build that into your costings, because otherwise you're just running yourself into the ground and you're not making money. And then the next tip, the fifth tip, and it's a really hard thing to do sometimes, is but just to stop doing what isn't paying you.
Yeah.
Of course, we all do things as part of our corporate social responsibility. That's fine. And maybe the odd favour. That's fine. But if there's things you're doing on an ongoing basis that are taking time and are not profitable, you just, no matter how much you love doing them, you just have to stop.
Yeah, especially it's taking you away from where you should be putting your energy. And it's interesting, that came up with a conversation I had recently with Donica. I mentioned her earlier on, Donica McCobbin of Venture Training Ireland. And he said he actually ventured out into one area, tried it out, didn't work, and said, reined it in, realised his focus needs to be elsewhere. So that's really important, not be running around being a busy fool.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it can be hard because it's something that you really love doing. You just think, But you have to.
I can so relate because I have that whole thing. But they really need help, and I can go out there and I can help them, and it'll make a difference. But then I'm like, then I get caught up in that. And then I get a call from a corporate and they say, we can only, this is the date we have. Can you come in? And I'm like, I've committed to the other person. And I'm like, no.
It's something
that's funny because I'm a long time in business, probably a lot longer than you. You've learned an awful lot of things quicker than I have. Probably wasn't as savvy, but I'm getting around to looking at those things and costings. Mm-hmm. Any other points you'd give people in general that are?
I think as well, don't forget to enjoy it. You know, sometimes we can get so uptight that we can, you know, be uptight. I think when you're working with people face to face, you just have to get yourself in that happy zone, you know, going into a group, going into a meeting. A really good tip that I got from a book called 59 Seconds. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's a guy called Richard Wiseman.
Oh, right.
He is a business psychologist, I think is his
title. Oh, lovely, my area.
Yeah. But anyway, if you don't feel happy, he reckons, like when you stick a pencil into your mouth, it puts your mouth in the shape of a smile. And your body doesn't realise it's a fake smile, so it releases endorphins and you end up feeling happy.
Okay, so it goes back to what we were talking about, Amy Cuddy.
The testosterone rising and your cortisol dropping when you are in a good posture. Same thing. So just be happy. Stick a pencil in if you don't feel like smiling.
Yeah.
You'll feel like smiling when you take it out.
Okay, talking about pencils, I actually use that for people because I have a tendency to mumble because I've broken my jaw a couple of times. And I use that pencil trick. I learned it when I was training as a voiceover artist.
Okay.
A straight pen or pencil. And that not clenching your teeth, but just holding your teeth and then speaking. So you're warming up the muscles around here. You get better at pronunciation. It actually works really well. That's my pencil trick.
Here's another one.
I like the smile one too. I'm using that now, and I'm out next week doing presentation skills training.
Well, there's a similar one that I use for the articulation. It's a cork from a wine bottle, in case you ever might happen to have one, and stick that between your teeth.
All right,
same thing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. More enjoyable though.
I can taste
the wine while you're doing it.
Very good. I've really enjoyed having you on, Barbara, this afternoon, talking about your company on your feet and all the wonderful things you do with that organisation and with the organisations you work with. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me
today.
I've enjoyed it too.
Okay, great. I'd also like to thank Paul Hayes for doing sound and Heather McLeod for production. The contact details for the show is email thelearningshow@dublincityfm.ie, Facebook/thelearningshow, and then Twitter handle @thelearningshow, TLS. Tune in next week to learn more tips and techniques to improve your working and personal lives. I'm Laura Fitzsimons, and thank you for listening to The Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM.